coming up on this episode of the Kobe Cast.
And I said, hey, I'm a local DJ. Yeah, my DJ name is DJ Benihana. And he looked at me, his face.
He did not look thrilled.
He was not thrilled. He was no longer happy to see me or to talk.
An all new Kobe Cast starts now.
Kobe Cast, episode 2. Today I have a guest, Mr. Sam Vecchio.
Hello.
Slammin' Sam.
What's going on?
Also, Quarantunes.
Quarantunes.
Quarantunes, right. Which has been going pretty good. We'll talk about that. First, we give a shout out to a former coworker of ours, Mornings with Pat, Pac McMahon. Hello, his Pat. Podcast, you can get anywhere. Even though it's called Mornings with Pat, you can listen to it in the afternoon if you want.
Evenings with Pat.
Yes.
Overnights with Pat. Whenever you feel lonely.
So giving out some love to the former coworker. Before we get into Quarantunes, one thing I've been doing is I've been doing a quarantine quiz with everyone that's been on the podcast. So my quarantine quiz for Sam.
Okay.
One, what's your sleep schedule? When do you go to bed?
I've been going to bed later. I now probably somewhere around midnight. Well, before I used to go to bed a lot earlier. But yeah, 12-ish or so. Give or take.
You don't even want to know what our bedtime is around here.
You just woke up.
We're on like a 3 a.m. to 10 a.m. schedule. That's me. My wife and daughter sleep a little bit later.
Nice. Love that.
Furlough, baby. Furlough life. Nice. What's one new thing you've discovered since quarantine? Either a book, an app, a TV show, a movie? Like, what's one thing you've
discovered? Something that I've discovered. Well, I've discovered that I can perform in front of, well, not necessarily people, but in front of a screen and garner some attention, some shocking attention, honestly. So that's kind of been interesting. I'm here surrounded by about 12 guitars. And with that, I practice and play them more now than I've ever in my entire life. So I've kind of been doing that, you know, and also working during the day, doing my regular 8 to 5, 9 to 5. You know, it's almost like I'm busier now than I was when I was leaving the house to go to work. So,
see, I've seen people say that like now that they're home, they have nothing else to distract them, so they get more work done. I'm the opposite. Like obviously I'm out of work right now, but like I can't do anything at home because I get distracted. Like, oh, what's Anderson Cooper talking about now? Or
I keep the TV off during the day. I can't. That would throw me.
That's a smart play. First day back to normal. Let's just say it's like a light switch. Everything gets back to normal and like one false swoop. What's the first thing you're doing?
First thing I'm going to do is probably go spend time with my mother and my kids. I mean, I've seen my oldest a little bit, but my youngest not so much. So yeah, the first we'll be doing something. Probably go to dinner with all of them.
Where's the first place you're going to go?
To dinner?
Yeah.
Jeez. That's a good question. I would say probably a local restaurant. I'm not sure which one yet, but somewhere that probably needs a kick in the economy.
The French restaurant, Apple Bay?
Apple Bay's. Apple Bay's.
All right, so it kind of ties in this last question. What's the one food you miss the most? What's the one restaurant you miss the most?
One restaurant I miss the most. Huh. I would probably say Basil Leaf.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Good local Italian.
Yeah, he's a great guy, good friend.
We do. Syracuse does Italian right.
Yeah.
Italian right.
For sure.
Like, it still blows me away when you drive by Olive Garden and you see people like waiting outside for Olive Garden. Like, guys, come on.
We've got a great Olive Garden story. So my mother, and she's a very sweet and kind and wonderful woman. You've met her many times. You know, her entire life, she grew up in an Italian family. My father's mother and father were direct from Italy. Right. So she's eaten really authentic Italian her entire life. If you ask her today what her favorite restaurant is.
Olive Garden. But why? Like, what is, because here's my thing.
Likes it. I don't know why.
Everyone who loves Olive Garden, right? Yeah. Their first comment is, oh, the salad and breadsticks.
Right. That's not a thing.
Right. Like, that's not, like, you should be known for your sauce or your meatballs. What's your favorite thing? Like, what brings her back to the Olive Garden?
She likes the eggplant parmesan. She loves it. I don't know. Yeah. I try to talk her out of it, but she loved it. She's funny. She is funny. Funny.
And that jarred sauce.
Oh, so good. And I love when they do. I love when they do the endless bowls of like endless pasta. I mean, how many bowls of pasta can right. you actually eat? You know what I mean? They're not losing money on this, folks. Okay. It's like $16.95 endless pasta. If you eat a plate and a half, you're lucky, and it was about $1.50 worth of goods.
I have an Olive Garden story. My sister-in-law, when we lived in Jacksonville, and it was her birthday. So she was visiting us with her boyfriend at the time, who's now her husband. My in-laws were with us. And we're like, Alyssa, anywhere you want to go for your birthday, where do you want to go? This is like, there's good restaurants in Jacksonville, right?
Right, right.
Wherever you want to go. You want to go to steakhouse? Want to go to Olive Garden? And I'm like, my God. And then I remember I ordered like shrimp fra diavolo. And like, it was the most overcooked angel hair pasta, which I hate angel hair anyway because it's so easy to overcook.
Oh, yeah.
And the shrimp were like that. Like,
tiny. Yeah, they're the little tiny.
Yeah, like you'd see in ringlet salad, not yeah. like a shrimp dish.
That is nice.
I'm off Olive Garden. Cancel the Nara.
Yeah, let's move on.
So this episode is going to be the Steve Aoki story.
Oh.
Which geez. You are. Like, never, this story's more I'll, about you than it's about me.
I'll never live this down. Ever.
So
let's start by saying Fireball made me do it.
Oh, my God. So a little background on the story. So, like, you and I both DJ. We've known each other for a long time. Mm-hmm. Life in Color is this EDM, I would say like a mini festival. Normally in the bigger cities, there's a bigger lineup. But for Syracuse, they had Steve Aoki, a couple local guys. And what they do is they throw paint, like, in the middle of the show. Like, they literally have – it almost is like a mad scientist vibe, right? You know, they mm-hmm. had like a mad scientist with his – tubes of paint, and like they have these girls on stage with fire hoses, and they're hosing down the entire, like, you're gonna get messy when you right. go. So we have a contact from the record label Ultra Records. His name was Phil. You and I think you met me and him. We were having dinner.
Yep, we met somewhere before
in the mall at Destiny.
Yeah.
And then you at, met us
at the Mexican place. Maybe was it Mexican or was it?
It was actually Gordon Pierce.
Gordon Beers.
Rest in peace. and then, so you met up with us, and then we went and we had a cocktail at Margaritaville.
Yeah, that we
did. But you brought your own.
I did. I brought my, well, that was for the concert, not for Margaritaville. It must have been six. It could have been eight. How many? There was five of us or six of us. I think I brought everybody, not the little tiny bottle, but the one above that.
It was definitely bigger than
that. It was bigger than the 2 ounce or whatever. Yes. So maybe it's like 4 or 5 ounces, right?
Right. Two shots probably.
Yeah, two, three maybe. So I thought, okay, I'm going to bring a little enhancement for the evening because I figured, you know, we'll all do – this is when Fireball was big, right? 3 years ago, 4 years ago maybe?
Right.
Fireball was big. So, yeah, in my infinite wisdom, I figured I would stack up, and everybody who came got like a little bottle of Fireball.
Sam's bringing his own party favors.
I'm bringing my own. I think I brought in like a little case and everything. I was well equipped.
It was, you used the bottle of Fireball as the weight to hold down balloons that everyone got as they came in. So we have a drink. It was me, you, Phil from the record company, yep. and Eric Silverman.
Right.
Because he was like documenting everything.
Correct.
And he's never been to anything EDM related right. ever.
Right. I remember.
So we go to the show.
Well, was that? There was somebody else with us. There was three or four of us.
Could've yeah, it was me, you, Phil, and Eric.
That was it? I thought there was
it.
It's starting to get blurry. Go ahead.
So we go. The show was at Onondaga.
Yep.
The On Center Convention Center.
Yep.
So if you're not familiar with Syracuse, we basically, they have three buildings together. They're the On Center, but there's three separate buildings. The Convention Center, the War Memorial, and then some theater. So there's like, what, 3,000 people, you think?
I think it's bigger than that.
But at the show, because it wasn't full.
Oh, no, I don't think it was full. Yeah, I would say 3,000 to 4,000. And my biggest concern was when you asked me to go, I was like, I'm not going to get all painted up. And that's just,
right.
that's not my scene. And you said, no, oh no, we'll be backstage. We're not, you're not even going to see the,
we didn't get a speck of paint on
the other direction.
In fact, the funniest part. So you and I, we go there, Phil gets us the bracelets. So we go yeah. backstage.
Yeah, we're good.
And the immediate thing we saw first was all the cakes. Remember cakes, all the cakes?
I do.
So there was like those baking racks. Like, have you ever gone to Wegmans or a restaurant and you see, or sorry, grocery store, and you see like the drying racks for bread?
Right.
There was like three of those filled with cakes.
I know, crazy.
And they were from Wegmans, so they're supporting the local economy. So we go back there, we see the cakes, but then you and I had to go to the bathroom, and we're wearing like black because you had your Hot 107.9 jacket, which we'll get to later.
Rest in peace.
So like we're in all black, and we go to the bathroom, and it looked like a scene out of like a John Hughes film because we walk into the bathroom, and there's like all these college kids drenched in like – hyper color, you know, day glow orange and yellow and pink and blue. And then, like, they look at us and we're like black and you can't see a speck of anything. They're like, where the F did you guys come from?
Yeah, we were as clean as a whistle for sure.
Yeah. And we stayed clean. I mean, it was pretty impressive that we actually stayed
backstage the whole time. Yeah. The whole time we were back there. I mean, that was quite an experience to watch from like behind the scene because, you know, you saw Steve and he was killing it. And then you see those girls, like you said, with the hoses and they're just, I mean, and everybody's losing their mind.
But we were behind, so we have some pretty cool shots of you and me behind like him, not directly behind him, but like maybe 15 feet behind
close.
Him.
Yeah, close.
But do you remember the gallons of paint that were like on the floor?
And then
like,
they kept had to bring them out. Yeah, that was crazy. That was crazy.
It was crazy. We got to see him cake people, and the paint, you know, like, and then I remember Eric who was taking pictures. He had, you know, obviously sometimes girls sneak backstage from with the artist or the other opening DJs.
Right.
And like there was a girl that was like kind of flirting with Eric.
Oh, yeah.
That was definitely not his type. Like definitely, you know,
definitely
a little bit maybe above his pay grade.
A little racier than, than he made.
A little more outgoing than he was used to. And I was like, go with that, man. Why are you with me and Sam? Go talk to her.
What are you doing with us?
We're just two old 40-year-old DJs living out vicariously through Steve Aoki. And
that was
go get the cake. All right, so this is probably the highlight of the story here.
Oh, yeah.
One of them.
Here, brace yourselves, folks.
So we get to meet Steve Aoki.
We do. Well, let's backtrack just a step. So as we're backstage, I'm like, all right, guys, I got the fireball. I think you may have had some.
I had one.
You had one. And I think I had six.
Yeah, and I don't think Eric or
Phil. To give Eric one. I tried to give Phil one. No one else was coming to my party. So what did I do? I mean, I'm not gonna carry the things.
You don't wanna see this go to waste.
I don't wanna see it go to waste. There was an investment made. And I'm doing something that is definitely not something I do on a regular basis. So down goes the first one, down goes the second one. I think I paused between two and three, and then three and four went down. And I think I pocketed the last one, but somewhere after the fact that was gone too. And it was, in hindsight, pretty bad idea.
You were feeling good though. At the time it felt right.
Oh yeah. It was good. Oh, it was the best idea at the time.
So you did that during the show, like during Steve's performance, when he was
backstage,
on.
Backstage, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because there was really no drinks.
No, there was nothing
backstage.
Right.
So the show's over. Then we go backstage.
Correct.
And it was in a green room, and there was like, you know, the green room was cool because there was like, you know, but you could tell it was very health conscious. It was like, you know, papaya and like fruit and, you know, water. I don't think there was any beer.
I think the whole show was dry.
So, to give a little more color on this, so people are in the loop.
Life in color.
Yeah. Steve Aoki's dad,
Rocky
Aoki, also started a pretty well-known restaurant.
Good that one.
People may have been to.
Yeah.
Called Benihana.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a key point in the story.
Remember this.
It comes back. So it's all of us. We're backstage along with Rhesus. That's the first time I met Rhesus, who's a local DJ. He was opening. So we're just chilling. We're talking. Steve is not back there yet. Phil is like kind of like playing host almost. I'm going to go get Steve. You guys sit tight. So I have to interview Steve. So they bring Steve in. And the second, why don't you take the story?
I don't think it was right away. Do you think it was right away?
Oh, I think it was right away.
Listen, I'll trust when it happened to you because at that point I'm not so sure I have a timeline.
I probably remember more than you did.
Yeah, I'm thinking you did. So sure. So Phil brings Steve in, and I think he's kind of mingling and meeting some of the people back there. I remember there being a decent amount of people back there. It wasn't just like
20, 25.
Yeah. Yeah. At least. Right. So it was like a nice size meet and greet. So in my, again, unfortunate, wisdom, and now mind you, I'm four, possibly five bottles of red of, Fireball in, I meet him and I've got my station stuff on, my little zip up, cool black, you know, looking kind of official, and hey, nice to meet you. And he's like, yeah, good to meet you. I said, yeah, man. He's like, I go, hey, I'm a DJ too. And
oh, wait, like, you're not doing the story justice. Cause
did I jump for him?
You jumped.
All right. Why don't you help me,
missed a key point. Before you're talking about DJing and before you're making small talk, you don't remember what you addressed him as?
No, I didn't address him as that. I told him that was my name, DJ.
Yeah, but you all right, so Sam, Steve Aoki walks in and he's like, DJ Benihana.
No. I meet him and dead serious, like I'm talking to him, I'm like, hey, nice to meet you. And I said, hey, I'm a local DJ. I work for the radio station. Right. He's like, oh, cool, man, cool. And I said, yeah, my DJ name is DJ Benihana. And he looked at me like he wasn't sure if I was being serious or not. But his face, and I think I have a picture of me and him.
He did not look thrilled.
He was not thrilled. He was no longer happy to see me or to talk to me.
And the best
part was just trying to be funny. Plus, I was in, you know, Fireball land.
And the best part was,
in retrospect, it was a bad choice. It was a bad choice.
I had to interview him yet. I was yet to interview him. So
I was like, you're going to meet my friend Kobe. He brought me.
Mental note, next time you bring Sam to meet an artist and he's had, a half a bottle of Fireball.
No Fireball.
You do your part first, and then let Sam go first. And
let him ruin the rest of it afterwards. Yeah,
he was a great guy. I mean, the interview was fine, and he was, you know, but yeah, the DJ Benihana was, and I have a better, little bit different recollection of the DJ Benihana name drop.
I'm almost positive that I introduced myself as DJ Benihana.
I don't think it was very subdued.
I'm sure it was a lot more of a train wreck than I'm letting on to, for sure.
So, of course, I think it was a Thursday, right? It was a Thursday night.
Yeah, it was.
So we decided to go to Benjamin's after. Mm. Oh, and that's another sad story.
It only gets better. So we head out to Benjamin's on Franklin. It was relatively early. I mean, it wasn't that late because I think the show
was like 12:30. I think.
Was it that late?
12 or 12:30.
Again, timeline, not so good. We walk in, and this is a place that I had used to work. I used to work there.
And I worked there at the time.
You were working there at
the time. And it's the most EDM-friendly spot here.
Absolutely, 100%. So it's a nice nightclub and a beautiful night, if I can remember. I don't remember what time of year it was, but it wasn't bad out. And so as I'm ordering more drinks at the bar.
Of course.
Why not? I mean, at this point, the horse is out of the barn, let it run. So I'm ordering drinks at the bar, and at this time in my life, I was a smoker, and I remember that I had my cigarettes. I couldn't figure out – I had them in that jacket, but I couldn't figure out how to get to them.
It was like a weird – like it was barely big enough to hold.
Right, and they were wedged in there.
Zipper pocket.
Yeah. Right, and I'm trying to get them out, and I couldn't get them out. Well – the owner, one of the co-owners of the establishment, I was like, hey, man, I can't get these cigarettes out. He goes, hold on. Whips this knife out, flips it up, grabs the jacket, and slices it and basically tears the whole thing.
I think you did that. No, he gave you the knife, which was wildly irresponsible on his part. But
did he give me the knife?
You were the one. You were the one that
felt like you needed that. There's a lot of fuzzy.
To have the jaws of life on your zipper.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, it was. All right. So now I must have cut it. Well, geez.
This makes more sense now.
I've always been angry that he did it.
No, you did it. And then the next morning, you came to work. You're like, what happened to my jacket?
Yeah. What? I got home and my jacket was all torn up. What the heck happened?
You happened.
I happened to myself. Well, you know, lesson learned. Lesson learned, for sure. There's no question.
Well, you don't work there anymore, and neither do I. So
I don't.
If you want another Hot 107.9 jacket, I can give you one.
I think I'll pass with
that. I got a few hanging up.
I appreciate it.
It's funny though.
I'm not wearing them.
I only have, as far as outdoor jackets go, I have like a hoodie that has no marks on it. And then I have like a North Face jacket that's just too hot to wear right now.
Sure.
So the Goldilocks zone, the one that's just right, is my Hot 107.9 jacket, which I still wear around.
Listen, I'll give you my knife. You can cut the logo.
And people are like, oh, do you work there? And I'm like, I used to. like, oh, what happened? I'm like, Okay, I gotta get a new jacket.
Yeah.
Not trying to get pity.
Time to get a new jacket. Or I can just give you a knife.
Or I'm just like, yeah. And I'm just like, I'm a huge dick. And I'm like, yeah, Elvis Duran, nice to meet you. Call this guy and tell him how much of a dick I am.
Yeah.
I would never do that. That's fantastic. The Steve Aoki story is told by Sam Vecchio.
Yeah, probably not as clear as you remember it, but certainly it was my reality up until a few minutes ago.
What can you work any Steve Aoki into your quarantunes?
Probably not.
I think if you did an acoustic version of Pursuit of Happiness, that would be cool.
Yeah, that is a good song. Huh? But that's Kid Cudi, isn't it?
But Aoki produced it.
I would have to have his beat in the back as I was doing it. But that's a good recommendation. Thank you.
There you go. I like it. I think you should do it.
All right.
And then we'll forward it to Phil and he can get it to Steve.
We need a remix on this stat. This is DJ Benihana.
When is your next quarantine? Is it every night at 8?
Every single night at 8 o'clock. So I started this on March, let's see, 16, 17, 8, March 18th. So tonight will be like the 27th or 28th night. And it started out as me kind of just being bored. I had nobody at the house, and I started playing a song, and Facebook lived it. And I was shocked that I had probably 6, 7, 8, 9 people watch. And I only did one song, and I was like, oh, you know, that was kind of cool. And people started commenting, oh, that was cool. Oh, are you going to do another one? Now, for the past 20 plus years, I've been a DJ. So I've never performed. I've played guitar and sang for years, but never put the two together and never worked on doing anything live musically. Right. So it's been an interesting journey for sure. I mean, it's humbling. Night before last, I had like 107 people watching the stream while I was doing it. And then after, you know, a day or so, I'm at like 1,000, I mean, views. I'm a guy in Syracuse, New York. I'm not, you know, streaming live to the world. But it's been great. It's been great. And it's been giving me something to kind of look forward to and to like push myself to learn different genres and different songs. And I'm taking requests, and I do this thing now called request roulette, right, where after I kind of, exhaust the songs that I have, I'll just have somebody say, all right, make a request. I don't care what it is. I'll try to do it. So I'll take a song that I hopefully know and start playing it like immediately. And it's been cool. It's been, some of them come out okay. I mean, generally.
You were going to do a performance at a local bar. When was that supposed to happen?
It's May 15th. It's still happening. Oh, it's happening. No, I'm going to be there. I don't know if anyone else.
You know, May 15th. No, I was talking to my buddy, TJ, the DJ, in the first episode. And we were talking about, like, and I think you did this. So I got this idea partially from you. You took over a bar's Instagram, right?
I
Wildcat
did.
One, or their Facebook?
Wildcat Facebook, Wildcat Sports Pub. Last a week ago Friday, Danny, the owner, said to me, hey, you know, I've been watching your video. He goes, I want to bring back a sense of normalcy, because every Friday since we've opened at 8 o'clock, we've had live music, and it's, you know, a band, a trio, a duo, whatever. And he goes, would you mind doing that from my page? And I said, no, I'd love to. And I'll tell you, that was one of the ones that was incredible.
Right.
You know, I think it's like over 2,000 streams in like 24 hours or something.
See, I think that's, you know, and I think that was something that I was talking to, you know, some other DJ friends about like, why hasn't clubs said, okay, hey, we're going to have DJs mix, you know, because I got that iRig thing that you and I were talking about. So now when I DJ and I feed it through,
clean as a whistle.
It sounds just like you would hear it. Like you could literally put it through your own Bluetooth and it would sound like you're playing it from your house.
Right. Correct.
So I think that's more of what we're going to see. Like, that's why I started a Twitch channel. So now, right. Like, because Twitch hasn't, I mean, you're performing these songs, so you're fine.
Right.
Facebook mutes everything.
Everything.
You know, so Twitch is kind of like the new frontier,
right,
where you can do that. Right. And then, you know, I've been doing that Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays, and that's been fun. Like, it's weird because I think you appreciate, like, if we're, you've spun in clubs, you know, we've both spun in clubs where there's 200-300 people.
Right.
And like, we're like, oh man, I got to get this club over, right? Got to get this crowd over.
Right.
But like, if there's 10 people, and I'm sure you may have felt the same way when you first started doing the quarantunes.
Sure.
When you got 10 people, you're like, oh my God, there's 10 people here. You know, you're like, this is awesome.
What really bugs me out is that, you know, the way the Facebook algorithm or whatever is, the people that I know, I can see because it says so-and-so logged in, right, like Kobe logged in. Hey, Kobe, how are you? But the number in the corner and the number of the people that I see log in, there's a disparity. So sometimes I'm sitting there and four, five, six people will be logged in and nothing comes up on the screen. And I'm like, hi, I don't know who you are, but thank you for watching, because they're either friends of friends, if somebody starts a watch party or shares it on their page. So it's just crazy. My sister has a good friend she works with on Long Island, watches me every night. She's watched me every night. Just sent me a friend request because now she wants to kind of chime in and like participate. So it's just a really weird way to like kind of get this extended reach. And again, I'm not a professional musician. I've never been paid $1 to stand up and sing in a bar. I plan on it May 15th. Wildcat Sports Pub, write it down. But you know, the amount of support and love I get is, it's nuts. It's like, you know, I know people are bored in their home, so it's not like, right, they're not tuning in because like they have to be there. It's like appointment viewing. I have to stop everything.
Well, I think when we see someone, and I think this is kind of what, you know, has led, I'm not saying that I have tons of numbers on the streams that I've done, but like, people can see me having fun.
Right.
And I think right now that's what we need. You know, like, that's the one thing what you can't get on Spotify or listening to Pandora is like, that's, yeah, you can listen to whatever you want to hear. But you can't see someone enjoying it. And like, if you're having a bad day or you're letting the weight of what's going on kind of get to you, mm-hmm, seeing someone else have a good time almost gives you permission to also have a good time.
Absolutely. 100%. You know, I think that's what messages from people that I've been connected with for a very long time that I really, you know, you're a friend on Facebook. And then these people from all walks of all parts of my life have now kind of resurfaced,
right,
and they're sending me, thank you so much. You're doing something so great. I really look forward to it. You're having so much fun. We sit, watch, and we have a great time. And so, I mean, for that, it's like, I'm humbled by that. Because again, I could certainly get up and set up DJ equipment and play, cause that's my comfort zone, right? I've been doing that for longer than a lot of people that I know have been alive, but I figured I wanted to try to do something that necessarily wasn't my go-to, and that's why I did it.
Well, I'm glad to see you doing it. I'm glad to watch them when I can, and I appreciate you coming on. Quarantunes every night, 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
How can people find you on Facebook? Just look up.
My name's Sam Vecchio, V-E-C-C-H-I-O. I'm pretty accessible, I would say.
There you go. There's not many Sam Vecchios. Only one of you. Well,
There's only one of me, but there's probably about 30 or 40. But I live in Syracuse, New York, so I think that's more of a, if it's a guy,
narrows it down a little bit.
It's not me. What's that?
It narrows it down.
Yeah, it does.
Just a tad.
It does.
All right, I'm waiting for you to do Pursuit of Happiness.
All right, I'm going to work on it.
Awesome. Well, you are guest number two on the podcast.
Thank you.
I'll follow you on Quarantunes. We'll get you another CobeCast down the line. I'm sure I have more Sam stories somewhere.
I'm sure. Let's review them before we go live.
Sounds like a plan.
Thanks, Kobe.